Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
So for now, no further ado, I'd like to hand you over to the amazing Kate McKenzie. Kate is a sex and relationship therapist who has taught in 6 countries and we all want to know which ones. She's a dating coach for the British TV show The Untouchables and has been on...
Undateables.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry to say that.
Thanks, autocorrect, The Undateables. And she's been on Women's Hour and Kinky Britain, as well as having a monthly Psychologies magazine Facebook Live that she runs. Her passions are attachment theory, emotionally focused therapy, and the art of bridging. And Kate's work is to create a sense of belonging in the self so we can be better at relating. And today, I'm really excited about this because this is one of my favourite things. She's going to talk about flirting as an embodiment practice. Kate, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kat and Claire and everybody who's here and everybody who will watch in the future. Thank you so much. I'm so chuffed to be here with you. Thank you, Mark, as well, and all the people putting this together. This is a flirting conference because it's about togetherness, belonging, connecting in all our diversity. And I want to say my pronouns are she, her, because I want to respect and be inclusive of those who have to fight for their identities. And I want to welcome also the universe of gender, sexual orientation, culture, class, size, ability, mental health, age, and also, if you don't want to flirt, or if you don't feel okay to flirt, I want to welcome you too. If you just want to be curious, or if there's bits you don't resonate with, or there are bits that you are, please feel welcome too. For as you know, we're all multiverses. We're all so different, and we find our way. What I'm going to do today is open, I hope, some ideas about welcoming your way to connect to you, to your body, and to relate to others in a way that supports you. So to start us off, I'm just going to explain. My name is Kate. Thank you very much, Kat. And I'm a sex therapist and a couples counselor. And I especially work in an area where I include attachment theory and I include a beautiful method called bridging, which comes from Harville Hendricks, developed with mindfulness from Hedy Schleifer, which is the idea of breathing and slowing down in connection and coming back to your body. So you probably all are very aware of this, but we don't meet who we are attracted to, we meet who we are. What does that mean? It means we meet nervous system to nervous system. So when you're more regulated, when you're more aligned with yourself, when you're resourced, allowing yourself to have more pleasure practices, which I will talk to you about, which allows you to feel that self-regulation of oxytocin, the happiness hormone, through touch or laughter or bath, or the dopamine through pleasure surprises, exciting things, or serotonin through experiences that give you your self-respect, and you're more regulated, it is going to be easier to flirt and to date. And of course, if you're feeling very low in that polyvagal theory idea of the dorsal vagal, if you're feeling switched off, underdoing, away from people, that's going to be quite hard to get yourself revved up into connecting with others. Or if you're feeling very anxious in the sympathetic nervous system and you're feeling very anxious about flirting, you also might want to think about how you're going to resource yourself and regulate yourself, and how you're going to get yourself into that, what they call the ventral vagal of regulated and breathing. So what I thought I would do, I will talk about this in more detail. Thank you very much for all being here. I really appreciate you. Of course, I'm flirting with myself, with my flowers and my flowery dress. And I have actually got some flowers behind me, because of course we want to flirt with ourselves first. We want to come into giving yourself pleasure first. So to start us off, and again, only do what is right for you. Please feel free to connect with what's right, or and don't do what you don't want to do. But to start with, if you feel you'd like to, we can do a very simple exercise, because we're talking about embodiment. And the more you connect with your body, the more it's going to help you flirt, help you align. A very simple exercise, and this opens your heart, is to raise your arms up, and this opens your chest. If you do this three times, it's very literal. The heart is in the chest. And as you open up, you may feel some energy moving in your body, moving in your heart, and it just helps. If you imagine that you are a cooker with a pilot light inside you, and if you imagine that your cooker's been cold for a while, the pilot light's not been on, that's not the best place to flirt. What you really want to do is you want to warm up. You don't want to put that meal into a cold cooker. You want to be able to warm up and come closer. Because the whole thing with flirting, thank you so much, is body language, tone, and pace. And if you've got that awful concoction of stress hormones, cortisol, adrenaline, testosterone, your to-do lists and your stress or trauma or shock or fear, which we can all have at any moment, at any time, but if that's what's running your system, that may not be the best system for connecting and relating to others. So what we want is flirting with yourself, thinking, what would I like to put on? What would I like to wear? Opening your heart, softening yourself, soothing yourself, thinking about pleasure. Pleasure can get a bad rap, and we want to think about, how are you bringing pleasure? How are you slowing down? What are your daily practices for embodiment and pleasure? And to help you with this, what I thought we could do, if you feel okay to do this, is to have a few moments of breathing, and for me to guide you into allowing some pleasure in your body. Because if you can relax your body and relax your belly, particularly, if your belly is open and relaxed, this is going to sound funny, but it's an amazing thing, and I invite you to experiment with this. It almost doesn't matter what you say, because people will feel your openness. Because when you relax your belly, so if you can, just give your belly a little rub. When you relax your belly and you allow that breath to go all the way through your belly, and if you take a nice deep breath, if it feels okay, that also can allow some breath to your genitals and allow that sense of breathing all the way through your body, it starts to open up the rest of your body, which also opens up your voice, which also can open up your face. And this, of course, you may know is very important. You might want to give your face a little massage, because there's so much documentation from the lovely Stephen Porges about how we react with our face affects how other people see us. So we may not realize this, and I'm working with lots of people to do this, is that I'll recommend people give themselves little dates to play and go and flirt with people. And they say, I did everything you said. I sat, I looked, I did all these things. And nobody smiled and nobody said hi. And what they may have found is they were putting that they call it the bitch resting face, don't they? They call it that they were showing disdain with their face. So sometimes if you haven't been practicing smiling, you might want to like massage your face a little bit and get it ready to engage, because Kansas University discovered most people cannot read flirting signals. There is a reason for that. When we were in village culture, it was important that we discovered when there was a dangerous berry, and somebody would say, there's a dangerous berry, don't eat that berry. So it was important that people looked at the negative to save lives. And so what happens is we can be left with that part of us that looks to the negative. So someone comes and says hi, and we're thinking, are they looking at me? Are they criticizing me? They may be flirting with you. So you have to kind of almost get yourself in the zone to think flirting. And this helps if you get your belly relaxed, your face relaxed, and then to think about what makes you feel happy. What brings you alive in your heart? Because flirting in the dictionary is about showing attraction to people, but not seriously, not being terribly serious, being coquettish, being light, a light touch of kind of love, desire, eros, eroticism. And the lightness is important, because when we're regulated, if you imagine little children or little puppies that are happy, they just expect life to be good and they flirt away. And we have different sorts of flirting. We have flirting that I consider service. That's smiling at your neighbors, the people in the shops, the world, being friendly, making your emails friendly, making things really warm, and attuning to difference, you know, so different cultures and different needs, but still warmth, friendliness. And then there's friendly flirting. Hi, how are you? How are you doing? Compliments. I love that outfit. I love the way you did that. If you compliment people on what they're wearing or what they're doing, you are complimenting them on their choices. But then there's also sensual flirting. This is where you can use your voice. So this is where it's very important that you relax your belly and you understand where your energy is coming from, because there are different places in the flirting. There are different places in the flirting game of life. And what you want to do is be aware of what you're doing, because many people say, oh, I friend zone people all the time. So when you're becoming more aware with flirting, what you want to do is, again, if you can breathe with me, just really breathe in gently, breathe in slowly, feel that your relaxed belly. And when you want to do sensual flirting, you want to know you're more connected to your belly. So the friend flirting, it might be further up your body, and the socializing with your neighbors, and that's that kind of friend thing. But when you want to just indicate a little bit more sensuality, you bring your energy further down in your body. And if you're imagining and you're saying to yourself, well, I don't know how to do that, then a little tip. Think of an animal that you love. Think of an animal that you respect. And if you can, you can do it with me right now. I would like you to move as if you're that animal, because what it does is it encourages that part of you, that animal part of you, that sensual part of you. And so if you think about Cuban society or Brazilian society, many, many, many societies, one of the countries I worked in was Kuwait. And when I worked there, I was invited to things, it would be all women, but when we got together, we all danced and we did Arabic belly dancing. We did all kinds of dancing. But again, as you know, in many different cultures, many different countries, we would all dance. And so when you get in touch, if you get in touch with that movement, because in many cultures, it's very normal to just move your body and you're signaling. Have a look at birds. It's amazing. They tease, they chase. Have a look at children. Children will play. That's so lovely. Children will naturally play. We call in England, they call it kiss chase, you know, and it's this, you hit someone, you run away. But the thing is with children, as long as they're, you know, in a good enough place, they'll do it with lightness and with fun. And that's what we want. So you're not wanting to emanate that with, I'm desperate for you, or this is so terrible and I don't know how to do this, but hello. You want to get yourself relaxed, and this is your pleasure practice. I recommend people help themselves with creating a pleasure diary, and they start to notice, what do I like? I, for example, recently got myself the most beautiful cups with gold handles and birds and flowers and colours on them, so that every time I've got several, so that every time I have my cup of tea, I feel sumptuous, delightful, delicious. So starting to include that in your life helps to build the pilot light, because what we want, and you can see that in certain cultures, I've noticed it in many cultures, especially Latin cultures, how they adore the children. Whatever the children do, they will say, you are so good, linda, linda, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful. And the child will just feel, yes, I am, yes, I am. And what sometimes happens is we lose that as adults. Sometimes we might lose that and we become quite serious. And what I would like to encourage is, again, the flirting, which is the lightness. Because, and so that's sensual flirting. And then sexual flirting would be also another gear stick. If you look at these as gear sticks, the first gear stick being affection. Hi, hi, how are you? You don't want to go to gear stick 7. There's a first stage of flirting. You want to start with, hi, how are you? You want to connect, because most people don't want to be pushed into anything. And you want to, and especially in this era of consent, you want to find out how the land lies. So gear stick 2, 3 would be warming up and looking more. What happens is Webster's University discovered it ain't the most normatively attractive people that get the people. It is the people sending the signals. And I have come across this a huge amount, you know, that people say, you know, I don't know, I put myself together, I feel like I'm doing my effort, I feel like I'm putting myself out there, I don't know what's happening. What's happening is that you might not be openly sending the signals. Now, by the way, don't judge yourself, always have compassion, because there can be good reasons. Like sometimes when you actually investigate it, you find that you were shamed when you were a teenager, or a parent or a caregiver said, don't do that, don't wear that, don't be like this, or you were banned from sex education, for example. So there's a part of you that holds back when connecting more. But what I would suggest to you is that in the sensual piece, so the first bit's hello, friendly. And my suggestion is you practice this everywhere. Because if you practice it everywhere, one, you warm up the world and you warm yourself up, because other people regulate us. But two, you get yourself ready if you do feel attracted. Because of course, when we feel attracted to someone, that can raise our anxiety. And it can be so scary. People have told me they've seen someone attractive, they walk out of the room, down the stairs, into another room. And what I want to support you to do is, if you're practicing flirting generally, as a general thing, that it might become easier to breathe and be in the room with someone you might find attractive. So you can start to breathe through that. Feel your belly, imagine that animal, relax. And I'm not saying this is all easy. This is what we call systematic desensitization, where we call it taking a little edge, a little step at a time. But as you know, we have this neuroplasticity where we can actually build positive new thoughts, where you can, especially if you bring compatriots around you, and I have meditations on my website you can practice with, and various things on my website you're very welcome to practice with. You want to practice believing and seeing yourself as this beautiful, beautiful person. Yeah, and also, thank you for the messages. You want to take it at the stage that feels right for you. So in my job, I work with attachment theory, and we have this idea that there are turtles and there are octopuses. And turtles are the withdrawers, the low desire, and octopuses are the high desire. Where are you? What's happening? Where's my text? What's going on? So the turtle might be, oh, hang on a second. I need to withdraw. I need to let go. I need to relax. Not too much. I need some space. Now, we can all turtle, we can all octopus, we can all shift into these different dimensions. But in connection, sometimes we polarize. So, and you'll know this, I mean, it could be different in different relationships, how you are, but you may, if you tune into yourself, do you think you're more the panicky one? Or are you the one that switches off and doesn't come forward enough? So just really check in with yourself. Are you a turtle? Are you an octopus? You could be a mix. There are many people who are mixes. And just to check in with yourself. And the reason why I'm saying this is, and you might be different in relationships. You might be that you're an octopus in your work. So you're really reaching and stretching. But when it comes to being attracted, you are pulling back. So the reason why I say this is because what we really want to be is a dolphin. We really want to feel how to be playful, joyous. And this again is body, tone, pace, and expression. Hi. You know, like when you go into, so nice. Thank you, Kat. When you go into, you know, a bus or a supermarket and the little baby or the little puppy dog or the dog, you know, they're just like, hi. And the whole bus goes, hi, to the little baby, the little dog. You can do that in your own little way. But what I want you to check out is, where do you think you are on the scale? So I know I'm an octopus. I know that I'm an octopus. I'm the on that side of the coin. And I can get anxious in a relationship. So I need to make sure that I'm doing a lot of relaxation, a lot of touch, a lot of soothing, dancing, sleep, baths, to really help me, because I can get quite heightened. And I used to also get lots of massages. When I was dating, I'd get lots of massages because it would be so like tense for me. And I thought I have to calm my nervous system because I was like revved. So if you know you're that side of the coin, I want you to think, soothe, soothe, pleasure, pleasure, soothe, soothe, pleasure, pleasure, breath, belly, relaxing, lots of compatriots. Check in with your compatriots. It's tempting to text this new person. Tell them everything. Not a great idea. Texting ideally would be niceties and short practical arrangements, not whole reams of discussions. I know many people who've had a whole relationship within a day and split up at the end of the day because of doing everything on messages. Now, if you're the octopus, lot of relaxing, lot of soothing, lot of body stuff. Now, if you feel like you're the turtle, you're the withdrawer, I want to encourage you to come forward. Because if you feel like we can all turtle. I've had definitely periods where I've avoided relationships. So if you feel like you've avoided relationships, I want to encourage you to come forward. Because if you want one, you're not flirting, I want to encourage you to come forward. If you feel like you're in your head a lot and you're avoiding and you're back, and maybe even you're finding that people are coming forward and flirting with you and touching you, but you're still not sure. You're still not sure, you're wondering about it. I want to encourage you to get a bit bolder. Now, I know this can be scary for people too, because it's like, oh my goodness, what if I'm bolder and I get it wrong? Ask. You know what? I think you're great. And I'm wondering, is there anyone who'd mind me flirting with you? Would you mind me flirting with you? I'd love to flirt with you. You can be light about it. You can be funny about it. Would you like to connect a bit more? You can make it smaller. So don't do anything that feels really awful or bad. Again, we build trust through taking little risks, little tiny risks. So what we want to do is, we're coming out of that corrosive, stressful state, but honoring how that can come up. It's not that that goes away. We call it in EFT, we call this the cycle. So we all have our own inner cycles. It can be, you know, if somebody looks really unfriendly or they seem like they've rejected us, that could be a trigger for many of us, you know, especially any of us, actually. I was going to say especially for an octopus, but actually it could be any of us. They could see that face and go, oh, they don't like me. And then there could be rejection feelings, and then abandonment, then your body might sink. And then what do you do? I know, I just won't date anymore. I just won't flirt anymore. And what I want to do is just, I want to honor that we all have these cycles. We all have these habits and patterns. It's not like they go away, but they can soften with a lot of care, a lot of pleasure, which can help us manage life and have what you want to have, whether you want to be in a pair or a throuple or a quadruple or a whatever it is you want, however it is you want to be in life, or whether you want to be open, but you want to connect more, or some people do not want to connect. It's some people, it's not right for them. I want to express this idea that it's not that we all become a completely different person. It's that you can bring pleasure, breath, and softness to your own triggers, numbness, contractions, traumas, lack of support, and play. You can bring play, laughter, pleasure. And that we meet people in the place of how we are looking after ourselves. So it's tempting, isn't it? Because there's so much information out there to think we can do this all from our head. And it's very useful to have the concepts. It's very, very, very useful. But equally, it is so helpful to give yourself pleasure. Allow yourself to feel irresistible. Now, if that's hard, then I want you to just take a breath in and just have a little practice. Just have a little go and just say, I'm irresistible. Maybe you can whisper it to yourself. That's lovely. Yes. I'm irresistible. I'm irresistible. And the reason why is because, as you know about this creating new neural pathways, which we do in bridging, we do this thing about really slowing down and breathing and relaxing. And we get someone else to work with us to help really listen to us, to attune to us. So part of this flirting might be that you want more compatriots in your life. You want more people to really hear you and support you and help you feel you are wonderful. Imagine living in a culture where we had no adverts. We had no sense of the body norm what was normal or normative. Imagine if we had that and you could imagine you are fantastic and beautiful just as you are, with everything you are. So many of us have had so much body shame, and it's such a big deal to really begin, and again, little by little, stage by stage, to educate yourself and to allow that sense of purpose, that visioning. So if you are in a pair, or if you are single but you'd like to connect more, the power of visioning is so immense. So you're starting to see yourself in a connection, in a relationship, imagining meeting in the morning. You can take 2 minutes to do this, where you close your eyes and you imagine meeting a beloved, and you imagine the feelings in your body. You imagine welcoming a beloved in. And the reason why I say that is the more you practice this, welcoming this beloved into your body, into you, the more you can soften, because they turn up. These people turn up in different ways. And often I talk to people and I say, have you met someone? Oh yeah, I met someone wonderful. And I say, oh, what happened? Did you take their details, connect with them more? Oh no, I didn't. I said, why not? They said, well, I'll meet them. There'll be another time. And so what I'm saying is preparation is the key, because they're going to turn up. And are you going to be ready? Are you going to allow that readiness to come in? Are you going to allow that person to come in? So flirting, as I'm suggesting to you, is about you and your pleasure and discovering what you like. You don't have to be the same as these other people that you're going to flirt with. In fact, difference is wonderful. It's about finding out what you like, because as we know, when people enjoy who they are, enjoy what they like, and they're passionate about it, it becomes so exciting. So if somebody's amazed about comedy or music or even card games or whatever it is, if they infuse that to you, then you feel excited. So it's kind of like, can you let yourself be enthused about you? Now, if you need help with that, which I think we all do, I think we all need compatriots who remind us, then maybe think about like-minded groups or like-minded people. There may be ways in this conference that you can meet like-minded people that help you see the beauty of you. And what I'm suggesting is that you practice this so that when you are in a place, and I know there's loads of stuff on Zoom, there's loads of dating stuff on Zoom right now, and there's different ways. I know we're in this strange time, but in this time of allowing yourself to connect with people, to flirt with people, how can you do that so that you have put in some practices, some compatriots, some slowing down? Morning is a great time to put some pleasure in. You might have half an hour pleasure every day for 30 days, which will change your life. You can put the timer on, put some flowers there. Maybe you get a lovely outfit. Maybe you think, how do you want to be touched? Where do you want to be touched? Self-care month, I've just read, beautiful. How can you bring this in? How can you think a little bit of music, some candlelight, some incense? And so really a world of pleasure for you. And of course, you probably know this, but when we fill up all those beautiful tanks in our system, we fill everything up and move our body, we're easier to be around. When we're full of stress hormones and someone does something we don't like, especially if we're flirting with them, we cut them out. That's it. Over. No, I don't want them. But if you're a bit softer, you've taken care of yourself, you might have some compassion. You might think, oh, maybe they were busy. Maybe they had a lot on. And so your pleasure part of you opening up and flirting with you, flirting with others, co-regulating by having support, because as you probably know, Dennis Prophet from the Virginia University discovered that if we do stuff on our own, we use 6 times more glucose in our body. We don't get so much brain power. We can't even think. So imagine if you're trying to flirt or date or be in a relationship with not enough support. This cycle, which is the triggering, what I'm saying is if you look at a pair and one of them says a joke and the other one gets offended and then they feel dreadful and then they disappear and then the other one says, where have you gone? Where have you gone? This being the cycle. And we all have our own internal cycle, like, oh, that happened. What happened? A trigger happens. Something upset me. It could be an email. Could be anything. Could be the way the door was knocked. Oh my goodness. Then I feel bad. Then I'm stressed. Then I've got some feelings in my body. Then I think, what do I do? Oh, I know. And we sometimes do our habits that aren't necessarily the most supportive for us, which might be going online too much or eating food or whatever. And what I'm suggesting to you, it's not that our cycles go away, is that we can give them more space, give them more softness, because there are different types of pleasure. There's long-term pleasure and short-term pleasure. So short-term pleasure might be eating that food that you really feel is not going to support you. Or if you're not meant to drink alcohol, if that's not for you, drinking alcohol would be a short-term pleasure. Maybe it does something for you. Long-term pleasure, as I'm suggesting, would be creating your pleasure practices, building. And so it's recognizing that when we get into our trigger cycles, we might use short-term pleasure, which then might go, well, I'm never going to flirt again. I'm never going to date again. It just doesn't work. I just don't like this whole thing. And what I wanted to say to you is, again, back to the gear sticks. Gear stick one, affection. How affectionate are you being to you? Gear stick two, sensuality. Moving your body, imagining that animal that you are, getting in touch. That's like really getting in touch with your genitals, with your belly, with your sensuality, with your Kegel muscles. Those are the ones when you stop yourself peeing, just kind of really connecting, going deeper into your body, the power of your own body, feeling that. It doesn't have to be that you're involved with anyone or having sex with anyone. It can be that you are just allowing that sense of eroticism, eros, that sense of beauty of you and the world and the life, So Gearstick 1, affection. Gearstick 2, 3, sensuality. Gearstick 4, 5, eroticism. That might be dressing up. That might be flirting a bit more. That might be looking for a bit longer. If you look for 2 seconds and you think, oh, I've given them the message, look for 4 seconds. If you've done 4 seconds, do 6. And really just start to understand that this is a practice. Good lovers, and I've studied them, the good lovers flirt all the time. They flirt all the time, and they're not offended by no. They will respect a no or a maybe. They will embrace that, absolutely. But they're going to warmly respect the no. We want to be warm. Now, Gearstick 6 might be getting naked, getting erotic. Gearstick 7 might be intercourse, might be getting further down the line. But what I'm saying is you don't have to have gone to Gearstick 7. You could be doing Gearstick 1, which is affection, which is allowing affection. And also, yeah, being very aware as well of being safe, because, and that's exactly, very safe. Thank you very much, Karen. Very safe, taking things gradually. There's no have to's. It's really about being here right now, in this moment, breathing and connecting. So if you could take a few moments, if it feels okay, only do what feels okay for you, to just take some easy deep breaths in and out. If it feels all right to close your eyes and you wish to, then please do. And as you're doing that, just notice how you are. Notice how you are. Notice how your body is right now. Maybe notice your eyes, your eyeballs, your jaw and teeth, maybe noticing where there might be contraction or softness or numbness. Yeah, just noticing your own face, head, neck, shoulders, your arms, elbows, wrists and hands. Your belly, seeing if your belly can be soft. Noticing again how you are in your spine, your muscles in your spine. Just noticing if there's any tension or relaxation, contraction. Just noticing. Noticing you. You are an erotic being. You have life force energy all the way through you. So this does not have to be even connected with anyone else. You can take time just to be with you in your body, in your energy. And of course, if you are allowing you to respect and honor you, this will vibrate out. So just taking your attention down through your body, through your legs, your hips, your genitals, your lower legs, your feet. Breathing in and breathing out. And as you're doing this, just allowing that sense of coming into you, coming home to you, you know. And then taking your attention to your heart and the back of your heart. The back of your heart, imagining some pink light pouring in, which is the idea of receiving. Many of us struggle with receiving. So things may turn up for us, but can you allow them in? That's nice, nice. Can you allow the idea of receiving? And also, you don't have to receive everything. You can choose what you receive. So allowing that sense of receiving, being open to receive. And in the front of your heart, just imagining a beautiful little flower bud. And if it feels okay, to allow that flower bud to open very, very gently, very naturally, only in the way that's right for you. And as it opens, just allowing yourself to notice what that feels like. What that feels like in your body as you allow some opening, a little gentle opening in your body. What does that feel like? What do you notice? And as you open the little flower, what do you appreciate in your life? What things feel good? What feels lovely to you? You know, is there, is that nature? Is it books? Is it people? What feels good in your life? Is it something that feels good, even or a little bit good? In your life, just feeling that in your heart. And if you have something that's given you a sense of happiness, then I want you to, it could be like a bird flying, it could be a tree, whatever it is, that something that feels nice or good to you, then I'd like you to imagine that in your heart, that lovely something in your heart. And then imagine a beautiful sparkling gold of egg of light surrounding you. And that you can breathe in the golden light. And what I'd like you to do is to imagine the golden light is coming into your cells through your toes and bringing a sense of pleasure. So I'm going to talk you through bringing in some pleasure. Imagine it coming through your feet, waves of pleasure, waves of relaxing pleasure, soothing you, loving you, giving you that sense of gentleness and playfulness coming into every cell in your body. And this pleasure working its way through your legs, waves of pleasure, and you're breathing in. Breathing out this golden pleasure into every cell in your body. Awakening your body into pleasure, feeling waves and waves of pleasure coming into your body, into your belly, soothing your body, soothing your belly, allowing that sense of your aliveness, your beauty, your gloriousness, how gorgeous you are. It's allowing that to breathe in more golden pleasure, waves and waves. And with every wave, you're feeling that lightness, tickling, pleasurable sensations through your body. Moving all the way through your arms, your belly, your genitals, your chest, your neck, your spine, your face. Tickling your face, all the parts that might be numb or contracted or held or soft, just recognizing and being with and letting the pleasure roll through until you feel it's come to the top of your head and you're just feeling hopefully some sense of gentle pleasure through your body, maybe some warmth, and just allow yourself to be in the egg of golden sparkling light. Just feeling that sense of soothing. Noticing what it's like to bring pleasure and noticing how you are right now. How am I right now? How is my sense of belonging in my body right now? And how does that help me reach? We call up these arms the reaching muscles. When we were kids, we would have reached out, hold me, pick me up, take me, do this with me. But when we weren't received enough, our parents were too busy and they said, go away, do that, don't be here, don't be that. Possibly some of us stopped reaching. And so my encouragement is to connect with your body, reach into you, and to keep reaching out in a way that's very gentle, very safe, in that systematic desensitization of building trust gently, slowly with your yes, with your no, with compatriots where you can check in, that you feel safe to check in with practices like your pleasure practices, building that up so you've got new thoughts about you being gorgeous and irresistible, and understanding that we're all in this together. All of us have had to learn and are still learning how to embrace and love ourselves. And as long as we're human, no one's got it, no one's there, but together we can feel more love. And so I want to say thank you for being with me, whether you're listening to this later or now. Please stay in touch. I have lots of free resources on my website, and I love to hear from people. And I also run lots of courses on slowing down, breathing, connecting. And I do want to look at the questions. I don't know if that's possible later, but I'm sorry if I didn't really respond to all the questions, but you're welcome to email me. So thank you so much to Kat and to Claire. I don't know if there's probably, don't know if there's time for any questions or anything. So yeah.
Thanks, Kate.
That was
awesome. So yeah, there are. And we have about 5 minutes to go through those. I'm gonna get through a few of those, and we might not get to all of them, so thanks to those of you who posted questions. I'm just going to ask them in the order kind of that they came in. If you bear with me a second, we had a couple of questions about, can you talk about flirting in the current time behind a mask without going on dating apps, so ideas from like outside the box. Maybe you want to start with that one.
Very good. Well, you know what I was thinking is that as you all know, it's quite a thing. It's actually very flirty. It's actually very, very flirty, because you need to get into using your eyes. I am suggesting getting into it, but it is very, very flirty if you can get into it, because you have to use your eyes. So there is a kind of like, you know, using your eyes a lot more, which I, you know, they do say the eyes are the window of the soul, and I'd encourage that more. Now, obviously, places are different. I live somewhere where you have to wear a mask to go into a cafe, but once you're in the cafe, you don't have to. I don't know how that is in other areas, but and so a lot of chatting goes on in where I live. So, but I maybe that's different in different areas. So I would encourage people to be able to still flirt with the mask. And also, we all need that warmth. We all need it. It is nice if you can then go somewhere where you don't have to have a mask and you can connect. And say hi, but you can do this, you can wave. And maybe that would bring some humor as well.
And I know you touched on, there's a question that kind of follows on from that, which is, how do you tell the difference between being friendly and flirting? Now, I know you talked a bit at the beginning about friendly flirting is a thing. Maybe you want to just pick up that question.
Oh yeah, well, basically, ideally, you would start, as in Gear Stick 1, lovely Barry McCarthy, sex therapist, talked about gear sticks in terms of sexuality, and I think of it in terms of flirting as well. It's basically, you want to start all flirting ideally, unless you're cruising, and that is another thing, unless you're cruising, which might mean that you're absolutely setting this up immediately as sexual, you want to start affectionately, and then you see where it goes. You know, many people get to know people first. So now, are they getting more interested in you? Well, if they're paying you a lot of attention and direct attention and it keeps going, there's some suggestions there, but you could check in. Are you flirting with me?
Even if I wasn't flirting with you before then, I would be now.
Thank you.
And we've had Kate ask a question about, which has been upvoted quite a lot of times. So can you talk more about anxious attachment style and how to slowly maneuver into a more secure attachment?
Nice question.
You're at the start and then slide into anxious.
Sorry. The last bit, Kat.
Can you talk about anxious attachment style and how to slowly maneuver into a more secure attachment? Kate's saying that she tends to be secure at the start and then moves into anxious.
I completely relate. So life goes up, life goes down. We have all these different stressors. We have a lot going on. We also have, you know, unmet things in our bodies, which we might not even know about, you know, so there's lots of things that can trigger us in life. And really great question. If you're anxiously attached, my recommendation would be really, really get your compatriots around you. So when you're thinking, I haven't heard back. Where's that message? Text your friend. Do a meditation. I got loads on my website. Do something relaxing. Find more relaxation, because it's understandable. You are someone possibly who reaches a lot, does a lot, which is beautiful. You want to pull back a bit. And how do you do that? It's very anxious getting involved with someone. So you want to really get some practices in to help you. And I believe we all need a lot of community, a lot of community.
Wonderful, thank you. And somebody asked a question about flirting in long-term relationships, keeping the flirt alive.
Important. So the cycle that I was talking about, which is, you know, one person gets triggered, the other person gets triggered, and you're in the cycle, and before you know it, the space is unsafe. So when you first meet, sometimes people have a really nice atmosphere, because often the octopus is a little more chilled. And the turtle thinks, great, we can hang out and have fun. And then the octopus thinks, this is serious, we're going to get serious, and wants to get the octopus into shape. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. And then it can start to go downhill, because the turtle feels invaded. They've got no boundaries. Where's their space? And the octopus thinks, what happened to you? You were so nice. This is where it's very important to flirt again. And people could think, oh, how do you do it again? You really can. Again, your pleasure diary, your pleasure practice is very important. But also, if you're in a pair, what I'd like to suggest is, before you see your partner, even if you're in the same environment, take half an hour to visualize being lovely to them. Warm your body up, like we did a little bit, so that by the time you connect to them, you want to go, hi, sweetie, how are you? And if they say, you know, there's a golf tournament this weekend, you go, oh, golf, that's so exciting. Rather than, hang on a second, where's me? Where's the washing up? What have you done? Which creates the difficulties. So you want to use, basically attunement is better than empathy. You want to attune to where your partner is. And you want to affirm them and with warmth and lowered tone. So if you're feeling like, I'm going to come at them, notice your own cycle. Really start to get in tune with your own, and I'm going to come at them. Go take some breaths. Go take yourself and do something that's a more long-term pleasure, more soothing pleasure, not an avoidant short-term pleasure. That's what I mean. Give yourself some pleasure. And you can start to track yourself. So you're going to notice whether you're going to bark at someone, or if you're a turtle, are you going to avoid them? And you know that's going to be trouble. If you're a turtle, too much avoidance, your octopus is going to get upset. Whichever way you're going to do it, do the opposite of what you might do. So if you're an octopus, you might be right. You want to not do that. But you have to be compassionate to yourself.
I'm going to take one more question. I'm going to sort of combine the two questions that are similar, and then we'll do a little wrap up, and then we'll come back to you, Kate. Yeah. So we have, what if the anxiety and fear is so high, you find yourself unable to put yourself into the situation that's even remotely sexual or romantic?
Yeah.
Kind of hanging off the edge of that question is, what if you find it, where did it go? Someone wants experiences, they want to flirt, but as soon as somebody's interested, they want to run away.
Beautiful. Two questions. One, sometimes it's not safe for people to get involved in relationships for their mental well-being or their physical, emotional well-being. Sometimes it's important that this isn't the time. You may have a different choice at another time, but it's very important not to push yourself into anything. Relationships can feel extremely dangerous. Right? And that cycle can feel extremely dangerous. That's really important to take care, because it brings up huge stuff. And the second question, Kat, was, you said a second question, didn't you?
Yeah, the second question was, what happens when you want to flirt with somebody, but they become interested, and then you're like freaking out and want to run away?
Oh, very good point. Very good point. So we would look at that. So that's your breaker. You've broken the cycle. And that's, again, how do you take it edge by edge, so little edging technique, to very gently grow that part of you that can stay near the fire. So understandably, if you've been holding back or you had caregivers who weren't paying attention or attuning to you, you may not have got used to how to stay in the fire of attraction. And so it may take a practice, gently, 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 and to build that ability to stay with, or even, and this is extremely charming if you're willing to do it, be vulnerable and say, you know what, I like you so much, I want to run away. I'm finding this really scary.
Beautiful, amazing. Thanks, Kate. What a whirlwind. So much information. And there was a whole sidebar of flirting going on. I don't know if you saw that in the chat.
How exciting!
Two workshops of flirting in one. I'm just going to make a couple of closing announcements and then I'm going to come back to you for one last tip, Kate, if that's okay. Thanks, everyone, for coming. I want to just remind you that we can continue the conversation in the Facebook group that we have, and our magic tech Claire is going to post some links for us now. So there's a Facebook group for this channel and people can carry on the conversations there, or you can go into the coffee breaks, which are in the portal, and go and hang out in there and see if there's anyone that wants to talk about flirting or even practice flirting. I believe that's a Zoom room.
Gosh, that's good. You could meet people.
Yeah. Right?
Flirting in the flirting room, couldn't you? Possibly.
We need one of those. We're also going to post your website, Kate, so anyone wants to follow up, find out more about Kate if you don't know her and all the amazing things that she offers. We're going to pop that in the chat. And almost last but not least, this is available for 48 hours on the Facebook group and on the portal. After that, we take it down and you can buy it. So there's a few reasons why you might want to buy a package, either the whole channel or the whole conference. It gives you a bit of time to digest it. So there's a lot of sessions going on. There's 1,000 speakers happening across like 11 days. So buying the recordings gives you a chance to kind of rewatch this one and digest some of the other ones and give yourself time to integrate some of the practices that we're sharing. The other reason that you might want to do that if you can afford it is it's a big thank you to the team. A lot of this program has been put together by volunteers, people who are not very paid very much, who do it because we're so passionate about getting embodiment out there and getting everybody into embodiment practices and making 2020 the embodiment decade. So that helps support our cause. And the other reason you might want to buy it is because it helps us continue to give people access to stuff for free. So it's a model based on soundness and kindness. You can support other people having access to embodiment for free. That's the end of my announcements. We have some more. Obviously, we have a whole bunch of other speakers coming up. We have Robin. I can't remember all the things. Robin Nelson talking later about how to create nourishing relationships. For those of you who are asking about how to keep flirting alive in long-term relationships, that might be a session that you want to check out. So go and have a look on the portal for what's coming up. I'm going to come back to Kate and ask her a question that we're asking all of our presenters. What is your top tip for staying embodied, Kate? What's the one thing that you go to that you want to leave people with?
You don't attract what you want. You attract who you are. And that's about your body.
Beautiful. Thank you so much to Kate. Thank you to Claire for tech hosting so beautifully. Thanks to everyone who attended, those of you in the room and those of you who looking and flirting on the sidelines. We wish you the best of your flirting practice.
That was so good. Thank you to everybody. Yeah, brilliant.